distant world. It is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace and tell me.
It's as predictable as the swallows returning to Capistrano. When gasoline prices reach a certain level and consumers start squealing, we start hearing from the politicians. Price gouging, they yell. There should be an investigation. We need price controls. It's OPEC's fault. Blah, 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 blah. It's a way for the politicians to look like they care and they're actually going to do something. But the fact of the matter is, nothing will be done. Never is. The only two times I remember the government actually doing anything about the high cost of gasoline was one, when Richard Nixon instituted price controls in 1971, and two, when President Carter imposed a windfall profits tax in 1980. Besides, the oil companies are making a fortune. Exxon took in $36 billion last year, and they contribute part of that fortune to the politicians, just to make sure they don't get any silly ideas about interrupting the flow of profits. So here's the question. Do you really expect the government to do anything about high gasoline prices?
The new White House Chief of Staff, Josh Bolton, addressed a group of senior Bush administration officials and told them, quote, if you're thinking about leaving, now's the time. Biatch! I don't know if that's in the quote. Sort of a cryptic pronouncement about a staff shakeup. For more elaboration, we turn to Press Secretary Scott McClellan.
I'm here to announce that I will be resigning as White House Press Secretary.
Mm-hmm. I guess he had been thinking about leaving. So why now?
The White House is going through a period of transition. Change can be helpful. And this is a good time and good position to help bring about change. I'm ready to move on.
Didn't it look like Bush was still working his mouth? In true McClellan style, he then neither confirmed nor denied reports of a White House leak that instructed him not to let the door hit him on the ass on the way out. McClellan has taken much criticism over the years for his evasiveness, his sweaty, disingenuous lying. But in all fairness, he's had a pretty rough ride. Abu Ghraib, the scandal there, Hurricane Katrina, and perhaps most damaging, his go-to reporter turned out to be a male prostitute. As they say, it's hot out there for a press secretary. But as usual, the president eulogized his still-living charge through revisionist history-colored glasses.
One of these days, he and I are going to be rocking on chairs in Texas talking about the good old days of his time as the press secretary.
Said McClellan, which day was that? The good one you speak of. There is no word yet on who will fill McClellan's shoes. Really? know, queer as yolk the other day got nothing, but scot-free? There is no word yet on who will fill McClellan's shoes, although one rumored candidate is Tony Snow, a correspondent at Fox News. In other words, the White House is considering paying a Fox News reporter to tell the public what it would like them to hear. I hope he's up to the job.
Okay, look, I paid my taxes, whatever this is about. I did not do it.
We're looking for Alan Shore, please.
Huh. Alan? Men with guns, again. It wasn't me.
What's going on?
Alan Shore?
It depends.
You're under arrest.
Arrest for what?
Aiding and abetting a fugitive, obstruction of justice, and conspiracy to aid a defendant to avoid prosecution.
You just described anyone who's ever given money to Tom DeLay.
Top 10 signs gas is expensive. Here we go, number 10. It's so expensive, Batman is patrolling the streets on a Schwinn.
Whoa!
On a Schwinn!
Schwinn.
On a Schwinn! Number 9, it's so expensive, mobsters are dousing snitches with olive oil.
That's
number 8.
How expensive it is.
It's so expensive, Domino's only delivers within walking distance.
Whoa.
Number 7, it's so expensive, moviegoers flock to RV just to see someone driving. Number 6, it's so expensive, Tom Cruise agreed to be a guest for 5 gallons of unleaded. Number 5, it's so expensive, you're actually willing to carpool with Regis. Yes. Number 4, it's so expensive, Starbucks is selling Gasacino. Gasacino. Number 3, it's so expensive, it's negatively influencing our foreign policy, hurting millions of hardworking Americans and threatening to throw our economy into absolute chaos.
See, that's funny.
Yeah.
That to me.
And number 2, it's so expensive, Anna Nicole Smith married the night manager of a Texaco.
I was about to say.
And the number 1 sign, gas is expensive, it's so expensive, Britney Spears' baby is driving a Prius.
The ambulance should be there by now.
Who's Josh?
He just left for the hospital.
Is Leo talking?
We don't know.
Should we be going to the hospital?
No, press doesn't have this yet.
Why not?
Polls out west are open for another 90 minutes. The longer that we...
You want to try and keep this a secret for an hour and a half?
A quarter of the country is still voting.
And I'm asking all 4 quarters to trust me to be their leader. I am not hiding the health problems of my vice president.
It may not be the best place to have this conversation.
Anything that highlights any...
I am not having this conversation. We're issuing a statement to the press now.
Congressman, this is still a campaign, and there's only 2 kinds, the pitiless and the dead. Every minute we stand here, votes are being cast. Undecideds vote late in the day. If they were looking for a reason to vote Vinnick, a press release from us could just punch their lottery ticket.
It's going to come out. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, the paramedic, somebody at the hotel or the hospital is going to say something.
Maybe we get lucky and it takes an hour for the press to confirm and get something on
the air.
They're
not going to wait to confirm it. They're going to go with the rumor.
I know he's your friend. He's my friend, too. But we can't be sentimental about this or we will have a Republican president who will gut education, he will auction off Social Security, and cut taxes till we're bleeding red ink. And when Leo wakes up, he will kick your ass for letting that happen. You know he will.
But my question is, does the president support the use of these espionage laws against reporters?
The president believes law should be enforced. And he believes that the leaking of classified information that would be harmful to our nation's security is a very serious matter.
Ah, shut up. Gotta be so glad when this punk ass is gone. Oh, my God. It is of particular concern when information is being leaked that could harm our nation's security. Oh, yeah? By finding out we have secret prisons for torture? How does that harm our nation's security? Oh, never mind. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? Oh, my God. Next reporter. Thanks, Scott. This past Sunday, Josh Bolton said that it was time for the White House to sort of begin to get its mojo back. Bolton sounds like a juvenile little twerp. Who is he now? Austin Powers? International Man of Deception? Time to get mojo back. If you ever came within 100 miles of a mojo, Mr. Bolton, your inverted white hiney would just shrivel up in a manner that would just make you feel like all of a sudden you'd become a prune. Time to get our mojo back? The Bush administration, time to get its mojo? Do you know what the word means, you dummy? Oh, well. Scott, this past Sunday, Josh Bolton set up a sign for the White House to sort of begin to get its mojo back, and you're going to have the president meeting with the congressional Republican leadership in the next couple of hours. Can you give us an idea of how the mojo renovation is going, the refreshing of it? Is there at some point a concern with the president and here at the White House that Republican numbers are dropping and the GOP at each end of Pennsylvania Avenue needs to get its mojo back faster?
Under this president's leadership, we're achieving real and meaningful results for the American people. We are advancing in the war on terrorism by taking the fight to the enemy. America is safer because of it. We are seeing a growing and strong economy because
mojo,
of the tax
mojo.
Cuts that we have put in place.
Mojo.
We need to make sure that those tax cuts
mojo,
stay
mojo.
In place.
Mojo. Mojo, mojo.
Moving forward on providing seniors with better options,
mojo,
better
mojo.
Healthcare choices,
including
prescription drug coverage.
I'm going to shake a bone of you, boy. Come over here, boy. Look at me. I'm going to shake a chicken bone at your ass. Mojo. Come on down here to the swamp one night. Was you there, Scott? We're going to be eating some alligator meat. We're going to be refreshing the mojo. And I'm going to shake a bone on your ass, boy. Mojo? These pasty-faced white boys are talking about mojo?
What does he mean he's going to shake a bone at me? What does it, is that something sexual? What is...
Last one from Simple Scotty tonight. Thank you, Jesus. This one on Bush's dismal poll numbers, which they still try to slough off like so much nasty dandruff. Reporter says, Scott, you said the president is focused on results, not polls. At what point will he have to focus on polls if, in fact, they continue to drop as they are now doing?
You all are going to stay focused on polls, and that's what you can do. We're going to keep doing, getting things done for the American people. That's what the American people want us to do.
The president continues to stay focused on results, but those results themselves result in...
Let me make clear. The American people want their leaders in Washington to work together to get things done on the important priorities facing this country and the big challenges facing this country. This president believes in solving problems
and
leading and working across the party. To get things done. And that's what he's going to continue doing.
And
I think that we'll let the results speak for themselves.
They have, Doughboy. That's the exact point of the questions. The results are speaking for themselves.
Yellow dye tartrazine, which is a coal tar derivative. Blue dye triphenylmethane, which is a petroleum-based product. Red dye carminic acid, which is derived from the carcasses of the cochineal beetle.
I'm sorry, did you say the cochineal beetle?
Carcasses. That's right. Partially hydrogenated vegetable or animal shortening, which is beef fat, pork gelatin, which is made from boiled bones, tendons, and skin of pigs. So far, we're up to motor oil, bugs, road tar, and pig bones.
So far, she hasn't named a thing that isn't in the majority of cookies and snack cakes.
And isn't that scary? Bleached white flour. The common ingredient used to bleach flour is chloride oxide, the use of which has been linked to the destruction of the pancreas and a form of type 2 diabetes. And finally, the biggie, high fructose corn syrup. This product does not metabolize as a normal sugar in the body, and it prevents a certain hormone, leptin, from reaching the brain. This hormone normally sends a signal to the brain that your stomach is full and tells you to stop eating. But whenever you eat anything with high fructose corn syrup, your brain thinks it's not full, and so you keep eating and eating and eating. This product, like many dessert cakes, is addictive and causes diabetes, and that is what this lawsuit will show. As for defense counsel's remark that the whole thing is ridiculous, is it? The rate of diabetes has increased 80% in the last decade. Nearly 21 million Americans have diabetes. One in three children will get it in their lifetime. I just want to say that again. One in three children. These companies are corporate drug dealers. Their products are killing our children.
Objection, this is beyond inflammatory.
Is it? One in three children? You market to children. At least tobacco companies say on the packages that cigarettes can kill you. And you have the temerity to accuse my client of not taking responsibility?
fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a three-hour tour. A three-hour tour. It makes me wonder. Now the ship's aground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle, with Gilligan, the skipper too, a millionaire and his wife, the movie star, oh, and the rest. Well, they're here.
It's time for a segment called Great Moments in Presidential Speeches. And I think tonight we're featuring FDR, LBJ, and George W. Bush.
Ah. Right.
Great Moments in Presidential Speeches.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I shall not seek, and I will not accept the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
Are you having burritos for lunch?
That's a little better. That's a little better. Hey, who got news?
You called for me.
Top 10 features of President Bush's bird flu pandemic plan. He has a plan now. Here are the 10 features of the pandemic bird flu plan. Here, plan. Here we go, number 10. Hang mission accomplished sign in every Kentucky Fried Chicken. Number 9, torture some Purdue employees until they talk. Number 8, scare birds away with giant radioactive kitties. Number 7, be on the lookout for any bird which looks fluey. Number 6, build wall along border so birds can't walk in from Mexico. Number 5, never leave the house, avoid human contact like Letterman. Number 4, tax cuts for the rich. Number 3, come on, it's a Bush plan. You actually think there's 10 items? Number 2, If you see a bird, run like you're being chased by a tiger. Run like you're being chased by a tiger. And the number one feature of President Bush's bird flu pandemic plan, hang on until 2009 when it becomes Hillary's headache. There you go.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Given the current situation in Iraq, the president described today as a havoc.
As a what?
He used the word havoc today. Could he, would he possibly stand under a sign that says mission accomplished today as he did 3 years ago?
Well, Peter, I think that, you know, there's some Democrats that refuse to recognize the important milestone achieved by the formation of a national unity government. And there is an effort simply to distract attention away from the real progress that is being made by misrepresenting and distorting the past. And that really does nothing to help advance our goal of achieving victory in Iraq.
Yes or no question. Could the president stand under a sign?
No, see, this is a way that...
Sure, I'm asking you, reporter's curiosity. Could he stand under a sign again that says mission accomplished?
Now, Peter, Democrats have tried to raise this issue, and like I said, misrepresenting and distorting the past, which is what they're doing, does nothing to advance the goal of victory in Iraq.
Historical fact that, you know, we're all taking note of.
Well, I think the focus ought to be on achieving victory in Iraq and the progress that's being made, and that's where it is. And you know exactly that Democrats are trying to distort the past.
Let me ask it another way. Has the mission been accomplished?
Next question.
Has the mission been accomplished?
We're on the way to accomplishing the mission and achieving victory.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended.
Mission accomplished. Bye-bye, Scott. You know what? And you know what's going to go with Scott? The entire White House press briefing cameras. All the cameras. I told you this. I said, didn't I tell you I was going to stick my neck out and make a prediction that as soon as the snow job started at the White House, that the cameras would be eschewed, the cameras would be removed from the White House press briefing room? Well, where's an egg timer when you need one? Today in the Washington Post, there's this article. It says Bush's new top aide makes his TV debut. And about four paragraphs into the liberal media's article, Bolton tipped his hand in only one arena, suggesting that the White House might stop allowing its daily news briefing to be televised in full hopes of discouraging posturing for the camera. No, you know what it's hoping? They're hoping that people like me who record what they say, the lies that he tells from that podium, and I can play them back again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Ongoing investigation, no, we don't think he's guilty. Do you know what I mean? That's what they want to end. That's what they want. What does it say about this administration when it's considering banning video coverage of its press briefings in a country in which the vast majority of people get their news from the TV? What does that say? Tells me the vast majority of people disapprove of this administration, and that when they're able to see them on the TV in their press briefings, which they move, don't have a specific time, just kind of pop up on the TV there, shut the people off from the daily updates, because it's so much easier to get away with lying when people can't play them back again and again and again and again and again. And I'll tell you one press event that the Bush administration never wants televised again, and that was the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Oh, my God. Did you say, you know, we're sitting here, we're scratching our head in other various body parts, and we're saying to ourselves, what do we do? Censure, impeachment, war crimes tribunal. It turns out all you need is a guy named Stephen and a sense of humor. Stephen Colbert, I'll tell you something. This guy, he should win a Nobel Prize for what he did at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. At the very least, everybody raise a cold beer to Colbert. And if you missed it, I recorded it, which is exactly why they won't do the press conferences with TV cameras anymore.
Celebrity moment number three involves an actor who went on to bigger and better things after this appearance on What's My Line.
Well, judging from the applause, I take it that you are a performer.
That kind of a performer. Would you consider yourself a leading man?
Rather.
And have you appeared in pictures?
Yeah.
Have you done serious dramatic parts in pictures?
Oh, yeah.
Are you Ronald Reagan?
Well, there you had it. Breakup Radio 92. Maybe not the best show we've ever done, but it was a show, and I was able to get it in the can. Oh, please, God. There is no God. Never mind. I don't have much faith in these Okie doctors. I would hate to fly to the Mayo Clinic and tell them I got a sore throat. But anyway, I'll be back soon. I'll get to work on show 93. Appreciate all you subscribers. Appreciate the people that throw the occasional check in the mail, because that does not belong to Caesar. This is Bart. I'm going to rest my throat. See you next show.